Amen? What he's given unto us. In fact, it took Jesus to come here to satisfy the need of a sacrifice to get us out of sin. Y'all don't hear me here today. We was in sin and messed up. And God looked down on the world and said, there's no way they can get out of that. There's no bull, there's no goat, there's no sheep. There's no other man or woman that can be the sacrificial lamb for their sins. So God says, I'm going to put me on a body and I'm going to go down there and hang on the cross in place and be sacrificed for them. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He could have died any other kind of way. But because it required a sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that's what he did for us. He died on the cross that we might be free. So no matter what we do, friends, we can sing like a mockingbird. We can preach like Paul. We can walk on the water like Jesus. But all that will not render unto God all that he's done for us. The best we can do is repent of our sins. Amen. Get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and live holy and live righteously. This very same psalmist said a few verses up, he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to live right in front of God. I ain't going to wait till I get died. I ain't going to wait till I die. But I'm going to live right before the Lord, right here in the land of the living. I'm going to live right amongst my family. I'm going to live right amongst my friends. I'm going to live right when I get on the job. I'm going to live right wheresoever I be. I'm going to walk right before the Lord. Amen. That's the least I can do. And as we have heard it said before, the highest praise that you can give God is hallelujah. We ought to tell the Lord hallelujah at all times. Lifting up, that's the highest praise that you can give God. Amen? Known unto men. Praise God. Because we can't, ain't nothing else we can render. We have nothing. We don't own nothing. Amen. You might have a house on a hill with a white picket fence. Amen. Living in a secluded area. Living in a guarded place. Listen, it don't belong to you. Amen. God has allowed you to have it. It's his. The money that you got, the paper that money was written on, belongs to God. Y'all don't like me here today. It belongs to God. Amen. Amen. The food that you eat, you might have grown it in your garden. You might be a garden that, you have a garden that's second to none. But God says that soil you plant in that garden in belongs to me. Amen. And the seed that you planted belongs to me. Everything belongs to God. So what we ought to ask ourselves, what can I give to God? What do I have that I can give him? Nothing. The only best thing you can do is repent and live right. Amen. Present your bodies. Paul said in the 12th chapter of Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is no more than your reasonable service. That's all God's asking us to do, is live right. He said, let me save you. Let me clean you up from sin. And then you turn around and live right. Amen. Do right by your fellow man. Do right by your husband. Do right by your wife. Do right by your children. Do right by your job. Oh, you don't hear me here today. Hallelujah. Do what's right. Live what's right. And the Lord will bless you. God will accept your sacrifice. We have praises that we give unto God. Amen. The praises of God are the sacrifice of our lips. Some folks sit in church all day and don't open their mouth. Sit there the whole service. They ain't parted lip the first, nor lip the second. Amen? Amen. Just as quiet as a church mouse on cotton. Don't hear nothing. But we ought to lift our voices and give God praise. We owe him the praise. Yes. Amen. Amen? We owe him. He's healed our bodies. He saved our souls. He's blessed us. Amen. He came and died on the cross and shed his precious blood for us. We owe him. Amen. You can't even pay him with your soul. What do you mean, Brother Lawrence, I can't pay him with my soul? Because the scriptures say all souls are mine. Amen. Jesus, God's word said your soul even belonged to him. Amen. Your soul comes from God. So you can't even pay him with your own soul. That's why it behooves you, don't take your soul and do what you want to do. Don't take your body and do what you want to do with it, because it belongs to God. We used to sing a song, my body belongs to God. My whole body belongs to God. My hands, my feet, my eyes, my mouth, everything belongs to God. So be careful what you do with it. Amen. Render unto God his due just, and that's praises. The scripture says in the book of Psalms, I believe the 56th Psalm, I will render unto God praises. That's about the best I can do because I ain't got nothing else. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? I owe God the praise, so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift my hands up and give him the praise. I'm going to open my mouth and sing. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to render to God praises because that's about the best I can do. Because everything else, amen, God is not requiring anyway. Because you can't give him nothing that belongs to him in the first place. How would you like for somebody to come to your house and say, now you done paid for the house. They're going to tell you, I'm going to give you this house. You done paid for the house. Amen. What is the matter with them? What's wrong with this picture here? You own the house. The house is yours. And they're going to tell you, they're going to give you the house. No, they're a little bit, they missed that boat. Amen. That boat sailed a long time ago when you got that mortgage and had to start paying on that house. Amen. Let us give God the praise. Let's give him his due praise. Let's render unto him what's due unto him, and that's the praises. When you come before the Lord, the psalmist said, come before him with singing and thanksgiving. Render unto God his due, and that's praises unto him. Amen? Amen. Somebody clap your hands and say amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you now. We thank God for his word. Let's don't owe God nothing. Amen. Amen. Give him his due by praising him and glorifying him. Even in the midst of your trials. Yes. Even in the midst of your...
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Living the Spirit-filled life. And today I'm going to talk to you about living Spirit-filled. And so I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you? Examine yourself. Are you filled with the Spirit of the living God? Does the Spirit of God live in you, and does he have his way in your life? Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit is a vital necessity in the days that we're living in. Our hearts should cry out every day, daily, for more of God because we need him and because of the times that we're living in. Amen. If you've recently started to fall away from your faith in God, then today is a day for you to reconnect. And to reconnect in the right way. Amen. 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 Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to say something distinctively clear. So that there can be no mistake about what he's saying. He's speaking so clear. How many of you had the Lord speak to you so clear? I've heard people say, boy, the Lord spoke to me just as clear. Well, the Holy Ghost knows how to talk real clear to you.
Amen.
And so he's going to tell us something about the end of days. Or we could say the last of the last days, because the last days really began on the day of Pentecost. You remember Peter stood up and he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel that in the last days, said God, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. He said, this is that. So that was the beginning of the last days. And now we're at a time in history where we have come to the end of the last days. And the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us something about what was going to be prevalent in the world, not just in a country, but what was going to be prevalent in the world during the last of the last days. And this is part of it right here. And it didn't take him long to tell it because it's so crystal clear, it didn't take a whole lot of words. He didn't have to give a whole paragraph about what was going to happen. He summarized everything that was going to happen in these verses right here. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some, everybody say some, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Glory to God. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit said was going to happen. He said, some believers will backslide and stop believing in Jesus. He said, then in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That means they're going to leave the faith. They're going to stop trusting Jesus. And they're going to backslide into apostasy. And they'll get to a place where they don't really hardly believe anything about God anymore. In other words, people will quit believing and trusting in God. They will quit reading their Bible. They will quit praying. They will quit worshiping. They will quit praising. They will quit giving thanks. You know, the easiest thing in church ought to be able to get people to thank God. Because we're a bunch of believers. We should be running over with gratitude. Right? I should have no trouble pumping you up to thank God. Right? But why is it that you say, praise the Lord, and you just got to keep pumping people to get them to praise? You know why? Because they ain't praising when they ain't here. When you're not thankful all week long, it's hard for you to turn the switch when you get here on Sunday morning. When you haven't been doing right during the week, you can't. It's hard to turn it on Sunday morning for a few minutes, right? And then just wait till that time go and be glad we get past this part. But when we say give thanks to God, we should be bubbling over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with praise. You know, when I got saved, I know Sister Lorraine was talking about in prayer yesterday about how when we got saved back in the 80s, it was just different. Yeah. I mean, when people got filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a fire on them.
Amen.
There's an enthusiasm about Jesus, about sharing your faith, about doing damage to Satan's kingdom, about telling everybody the good news. I mean, just a fire and enthusiasm. Because what we had received was so much better than what we was living that we literally came into a brand new life and we was excited about it. And so I remember during those times being so in love with Jesus, just fell in love with him. Everything Jesus. You hear his name walking in the mall, you hear, up to that somebody, he talking about somebody I know. Let me see what they saying about him. I know him. I know who they're talking about. That's got to be a believer there. Oh, we in fellowship now. But you got believers now. They don't care. They hear Jesus' name and ain't hear nothing. But I prayed a prayer because I was scared that I would slip away from my enthusiasm for God. I said, Lord, this is so good and so exciting and so adventurous getting to know you. Please don't let me slip back into religion.
Amen.
Don't let me lose my passion. Don't let me lose my fire. I'm just scared that one day that I won't be excited about him no more. Ooh, because I know that's a bad thing. Because religion can't change you. And so that's still my prayer. I need to stay on fire. I need to keep my passion for Jesus hot and heavy. Amen. I can't settle into some religious rut and then be complacent where I'm not looking for change. I'm not expecting any more from God. You know, I'm just going through the motions of serving him. Well, he's never satisfied with that. But look at what he said is going to happen, and it's happening. It's happening right now. This is how you tell when you start departing from the faith. You stop reading, you stop praying, you quit worshiping and praising God, you quit giving thanks, you even quit church. In other words, you ain't consistent in that no more, just when you feel like it. So he, Jesus, not really being Lord, because you lording it over him, telling him what you're going to do. Yeah. Quit church, quit giving, quit serving, quit loving other people, quit witnessing. People lose their passion and their fire for Jesus. In other words, they shut down their Christian walk. Just shut it down. We ain't been about all this Jesus stuff no more. Some people just want just enough Jesus to get to heaven. I don't want to be on fire for Jesus. I just want enough to just go to heaven. We have to learn how to live spirit-filled. Amen. Amen. Now, why is this happening here? Jesus gave the reason for it. Why would some people depart from the faith? I mean, why would you walk away from the best thing ever happened to you? You know, we sing that song, Jesus, the best thing ever happened to me. Well, why would people depart from the faith? Listen to what he says. Giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, that word doctrines, you look it up in other translations, it'll tell you teachings. Things that demons teach. In other words, people will stop believing the Bible and will start believing demonic teachings. In other words, they will start believing the wrong thing. He said, that's what happened. Demons will begin to seduce them. Deceiving spirits will, they're always on your trail. They're always on your trail trying to deceive you, trying to fool you, trying to trick you, trying to keep you from having that devotion for the Lord that you should have, trying to break your focus and to bring distraction in your life to deceive you that something else is better. And in these teachings, people say, well, the devil ain't never taught me nothing. Let me tell you something. Same-sex marriage is a doctrine of the devil. That's a teaching that comes from demons. That's a teaching that's inspired by demons. That it's normal for two men to be together, two women. That's that this we need to accept that as being normal. That's a normal relationship. And guess what? Seducing spirits. Seduction takes place over time. Sometimes it's a slow process. The devil's been working on this for years and years and years until now you can't even hardly say anything about it without losing your job. There are lots of doctrines of demons. Anything that deviates from the truth, any principles that you live by that violate the scripture has been given to you by some demon. There are all kinds of religious doctrines out there, teachings. But some of them, you got to check them at the source and say, do they line up with the word of God? Amen. Does it violate the Bible? And if it does, put a tag on it. Doctrine of devil. The devil's teaching. And he's busy trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to be the one leading you. He wants to be the one guiding you. He wants to be the one that's empowering you to do things. He wants to take the place of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself even to an angel of light. In other words, many people are deceived because they think that they're following God and they're really following the devil. Because he transformed himself. And the Bible said that his ministers are able to transform themselves. That's talking about human beings. People depart from the faith because they've been deceived by seducing spirits. They're deceived into embracing and believing teachings inspired by devils. Amen. And another reason not listed here, but I'm going to give it to you, is that they don't continually acknowledge the Holy Spirit and have lost their first love for Jesus. That's why people depart. They fall out of love with Jesus. They stop doing those things that they know that's right. Now, I got to tell you this part so that you'll understand why you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this is what we're confronted with out there in this world. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you're not careful, then you will start dropping things, laying stuff aside that was good and wholesome that you used to enjoy doing. You know, whenever you hear Christians saying, well, we used to do, that means they stopped doing it. We used to. We used to. I remember when. That means they ain't doing it no more. I used to go to church all the time, and now I just go every now and then. What done happened? Did Jesus change on you? Or did you change on him? Did you stop believing something you used to believe that was putting you here every time the doors open? Did you change what you believed? One time you thought that was beneficial for you. Now, I'm not condemning you, but I want you to see the truth, because this was a warning given to the church. Amen. So I'm sharing this with you so that you don't allow this to happen to you. Believers get seduced away from the truth. Well, you know, all that tithing, I heard somebody say it ain't for today. Well, you've been in the Word, you done seen the truth for yourself, you going to let somebody talk you out of it? Yeah. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that God is dealing with the Apostle Paul in the second letter to Timothy. First thing that he did in the scripture we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gave them the cause. He gave them the cause of why people will depart from the faith and what they'll start believing. In 2 Timothy, he gives them the effect of being seduced and believing doctrines of devils. Cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. All right, the cause is the devil deceiving people and people believing the lie, and the effect is found here in 2 Timothy. Listen, I'm going to read this here out of the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, he's talking about the end of days again, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, the King James says perilous times. Other translations say distressing times, times of great stress and trouble. Times that are hard to deal with. We living in dangerous times. How many of you know it's dangerous? Out there in the world is dangerous. You need to be prayed up every day. You need to be led by the Spirit every day, because you don't ever know what you're going to count out there, because we're living in dangerous times. And the reason is because of the effect of people that have been deceived by the devil. Listen at this. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Now, I got to reading that, and I say, now, in this description of this is the actions of people. This is the effect of not being led by the Spirit. This is the effect of not believing the gospel. And then I start looking at those characteristics, and I say, most of them are demonic. All right, let me go through the list again. People will be selfish. All right, now, that's fleshly. That's people, you know, people loving themselves. We live in this selfie generation. You know, I mean, everybody like to take pictures of themselves. I ain't getting on you because you take a lot of selfies. You know, don't take pastor picking me because I take selfies. I ain't picking nobody. I mean, that's the age we're living in. Amen. But, you know, you just can't fall in love with yourself. You're supposed to love God more than you love yourself. They will be boastful and proud, demonic, scoffing at God, demonic. God is the one that loves you. He the one created you. Why would you want to scoff at him? Why would you want to ridicule him and make light of him and make jokes about him and have no respect and no honor for him, the one that created you? That sounds demonic to me. Listen to this here. Disobedient. That's a characteristic. Disobedient to parents, which means we're talking, taking another level. Disobedient to God. That sounds demonic to me. You're living in disobedience. What about this one right here? Ungrateful. That's demonic. For you not to have gratitude. That's demonic inspired. They will consider nothing sacred. That's the devil. He don't consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. That's demonic. To not love people when God said that's the command to love one another. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Well, to slander others, to malign others, to speak falsely against people, that's demonic. They will be cruel and hate what's good. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying there'll come a time when people will call what's evil good and what's good evil. That's demonic, because that's perversion. They will betray their friends, be reckless, and be puffed up with pride, will love pleasures more than they love God. You see, you could see the influence of those deceiving spirits in these characteristics. And God doesn't want us to live that way. That's why I'm sharing it with you this morning. Amen. The only protection we have from delusion, from the delusion that's present in our world, is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to teach us, yes, and to lead us and to guide us. And if you reject him, then you are laying your life wide open. You have absolutely no defense. I mean, that's a hopeless situation. If you just reject the grace of God, then there's nothing else left for you. The devil's just going to run over your life. And what would be sad about it is that you don't even know that he's doing it. Going through the motions, living day by day, but don't know that all the while Satan is calling the shots. And we've been delivered out of his hand. We got no business having no dealings with him. We should have, listen here, tell your neighbor, have no dealings with the devil. None. All right, tell them on the other side this time. Say, don't give me a place to the devil. Now you got the power to do that. Praise God. If you focus on doing God's will, then you won't have time to sin. Amen. We have to be intimately involved with the Holy Spirit, because an intimate relationship with him will lead to an astounding revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, he's going to give me a revelation of Jesus Christ that just blow my mind, that will keep me on fire. Hallelujah. That will keep me passionate about Jesus, that keep me, I mean, just in awe. And I'm still growing in revelation. You know, recently God gave me a revelation about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, that's where we're seated with him. Now, I've been knowing these things, but he showed me another side, that the reality of that is real, that our redemption is a reality in heaven. I mean, it's just as real. It's a done deal. I mean, ain't nobody in heaven wondering to my Jesus, did you really do it? No, everybody up there already know it's done. So whatever he said about us here on earth, and our faith is real there. And if it's real there, then I can have it here. I just got to find out what he did for me and then take it. And the Lord showed me that it's not a problem of us trying to talk him into